Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbilly, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
And welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life, in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. I'd like to thank the Creator for allowing me to host this show. I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show also. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-95. 40. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, are some black youth out of control? Why are black youth so out of control, disrespectful, murdering, carjacking, and truant? What is their problem? Can this self-destructive trend be reversed? From the Atlantic. I thought this was an interesting article because I don't know if people still know Charles Barkley, the basketball star from back in the day. Anyway, he explained why we as black people are never going to be successful. He said we. He's a black guy too, right? And he basically said black people are never going to be successful, not because of white people, but because of other black people. He said when you're black, you got to deal with a whole lot of crap in your life from other black people, right? So Barkley said African Americans are too concerned, and I'm reading this. He said, African-Americans are too concerned with street cred than true success that's holding the community back. That's what's holding us back. We too worried about getting that street reputation. This seems like I need to get my boots on and go and get on out there because I'm back on that. I haven't been looking for street creds. And a lot of my friends, I guess they need to get out there because they way too old, man. They got to get... You know, they got to go back and get their street creds, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, for some reason, he said, we are brainwashed to think if you are not a thug or an idiot, you are not black enough. This is Charles Barkley saying this, so nobody breaking out my windows. If you go to school, make good grades, speak intelligent, and don't break the law, you're not a good black person. It's a dirty, dark secret in the black community. It must be a real dirty, dark secret because I never heard of it. So I don't hear people saying you got to be ignorant and thuggish and things like that. Anyway, he says it's a dark secret. So I guess I haven't been in the darkness. It's new to me. I just happen to be black and African-American, whatever you want to, call it, somebody help me out with that one, call in and let me know what that's all about, because I've never heard of that. I heard some kids say some dumb stuff like that, like, you're not being black, though. They just talk about street, they respect the people from the street. You ain't been through nothing, so, they got more respect for guys that have been through stuff similar to them, but I don't know about that black enough stuff. Anyway, there are a lot of black people, he said, who are unintelligent, who don't have success. It's best to knock a successful black person down because they're intelligent, he said. So you shoot them down. They speak well. They do well in school. And they're successful. It's typical BS that goes on when you're a black man. I don't know. I work in the schools, and I've been in different places. It seems like they're equal opportunity bulliers in school. So I don't know about that. Anyway, the writer goes on to say, it's worth noting that there isn't much difference between Barkley's claim that there are a lot of black people who are unintelligent and the claims of a garden variety racist. If you didn't know who Charlie was, you would think a racist said that. Anyway, he said, and he assumed that Barkley meant to say something more nuanced. More charitable analysis, though, is far from a dirty, dark secret. Dirty, dark secret. I'm in the dark with that. I'm going to admit it. Because I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen, so I'm not a butter knife, The notion that black irresponsibility is at least part of the race problem is widely shared among black America's most prominent figures, beginning but not ending with the president of the United States, I'm assuming the only black president, so-called black president, is Obama. So they say that's part of the race problem, irresponsibility, right? Finally, he went on to talk about a historian called Robert Thurston. He traces the roots of respectability politics to the post-bellum era, right, after the Civil War, right? Acts to access the problem of lynching. Black public figures condemned barbarism, right? But not just the barbarism of white mobs, right? In this case, they're talking about barbarism as you just being out of control, hurting people. The criminal record of the Negro people is alarming in its proportions, he wrote. The black educator Kelly Miller in 1899. The whole race is given an evil reputation by reason of its criminal class. That's like saying we got my house. I got 6 kids. 2 of them do the street thing, go to jail, shoot people. So my whole family get that reputation. So that's like saying that. So just gonna stereotype, label everybody as what to do, right? Say he was not pro-lynching, he better not be. But he believed that black criminality was part of the cause and argued that black protests would be fully justified until the rate of black criminality was zero. Well, as you can, I don't know if people know about after the Civil War, they created this system which if you didn't work, they could imprison you and then enslave you again, the working and things like that. So they created, they criminalized the so-called free slaves, right? A black man was probably actually still into the vibe in those days. How could you go from being a slave to an employee when no one wants to pay you? And when you do work for someone, you end up owing them money as a sharecropper. I'm thinking 1899 was not a good year for a so-called free slave. Considering the consequence was lynching, he had to be extremely destitute to steal. That is just, they went on to talk about, it is not sufficient to say that 95 out of every 100 Negroes are orderly and well-behaved. The 95 must band themselves together to restrain or suppress the vicious 5. In other words, all it takes for evil to thrive is for good men to do nothing. All right? I guess we call message. So Miller went on to be quoted saying the percentage of Negro criminals is usually large, asserted Francis J. Remeek and Mary Church Terrell. They said Negroes who are known to have been guilty of assault, claiming that they were ignorant, repulsive in appearance, and as near the brute creation as it is possible for a human being to be. And if that ain't racist, that's some racist stuff right there. The brute creation. We talking about are people who snatched people on some boats, took away their language and their culture, raped, robbed them, dismembered them, enslaved them, forced them to work, cut babies out of their wombs and, lynched people. And took pictures, like hundreds of people there to take pictures of somebody burning alive or neck is stretched. And they call him the black man, the picture of a poster boy for a brute creation. That's very interesting. Terrell said that the best Negroes have no sympathy for such brutes. In 1918, Tuskegee graduated and educated William J. Edwards, who claimed in his memoir, there are criminals in the Negro race for whom no legal form of punishment is too severe. He went further arguing that the Negro was on a lower order of civilization and often uneducated, undisciplined, untrained. He is often ferocious, right? Or dangerous. He makes a criminal of the lowest type, for he is the product of ignorance. Ooh. And they saying, William J. Edwards claimed that? No, that's Terrell saying that. Yeah, that's Terrell. Does it say he's a white guy? Francis J. Well, I don't know if he's white or not. Doesn't matter. Who's saying that? It just sounds racist. I don't care what color you are saying it. That sounds very unscientific and just based on your own idea about people. So, it's a... No, if you're depriving education and, you know, your culture, your people, every step you take, somebody's trying to enslave you, re-enslave you physically and just keep you away from things. I guess you might appear ignorant to somebody because you can't read and things like that. You know, so if you haven't wasn't slick enough to do it, being a slave, it's just, that's very, you know, because people didn't want to get punished. I understand that, which is even more reason why black kids should be flooding the schools to get that education. If they know their history, they should know that that was a part of how they kept them in bondage, by keeping them ignorant, not being able to read or write or understand things that were around them, things like that. But we learned how to do that during slavery anyway, right? Pay the price for it, but, you know, you got to pay the price. You know, it's a price to pay for everything. And unfortunately, you should not be paying a price to educate yourself, but some of us did, right? Now we're paying a price for not educating ourselves. Anyway, they say, to a person, all of these black leaders oppose lynching and said as much, but it's not enough to allow these words to be written off as simply of their time in history. Even at that time, there were black people who refused to look away. They say none stands higher than Ida B. Wells. And I didn't even know she was this deep. But this lady had heart. They're talking about heart, this heart right here. Like many other persons who have read of lynching in the South, I had accepted the idea meant to be conveyed that although lynching was irregular and contrary to law and order, unreasoning anger over the terrible crime of rape led to the lynching, right? That perhaps the brute deserved justice and the mob was justified in taking his life. That perhaps the brute, right? So that's a subscription to the racist ideology about black man, right? But then Thomas Moss, Calvin McDowell, and Lee Stewart, friends of Ida B. Wells, were lynched. And it became clear that in the case of lynching, the claim of rape might be the pretext for something else. Basically, like the Emmett Till situation. Ah! He whistled at me. So, you know, black guy, don't think about messing with these white women. And, you know, this is that time when you can literally be killed for that. And no, nothing happened to the person that do anything to you, right? This is this time period. So, and not to say that it doesn't happen now, but I'm talking about this time period. This is real. They take pictures and everything. This is what opened the eyes to what lynching really was, an excuse to get rid of Negroes who were acquiring wealth and property and thus keep the race down and keep the... Sorry, Kenny, nigger terrorized, right? What Wells did with this realization is what makes her extraordinary, they said. At one point, she had been run out of Memphis for investigating the deaths of her friends. She lived in the North, having been threatened with death by neo-Confederates. But she returned to the South with a pistol in her hand and spent a significant part of her career investigating and exposing lynchings. To put this differently, having seen her own fault, She rededicated herself to the self-education, to hard study, and publicizing the truth. All right? When we think of the fight against lynching today, very few people think of the words of Kelly Miller, Frances Grimmick, or William J. Edwards. We think of Ida B. Wells because of her unrepentant fight against the barbarism of white supremacy. This version of history is a mistake. It allows the Charles Barkley, right, tap dancing, right, of the world and the racists who undoubtedly will approvingly quote him to pretend that they are exposing some heretofore archaic bit of knowledge. In fact, they are employing two of the most disreputable traditions in American politics, false equivalence and an appeal to respectability, right? Goes on to talk about, this is a black tradition that believed that brutes were particularly responsible for thing in the 20th century and believed that those, some brutes were partially responsible for the achievement gap in the 21st. So they just basically controlling the narrative, right? They said thinking people have a decision to make. Will they follow a tradition of half apologies when powerful people commit awful crimes, or will they follow the tradition of Ida B. Wells, of study and investigation, of trying to understand, no matter how horrible that understanding may ultimately seem to be? So that's a lot right there, because I'm assuming Charles Barkley, the black basketball star from the Sixers. I think he played for the Suns. I'm assuming he was raised in a black community. I'm assuming that his people's black, you know, mom and dad and stuff like that. It's truly ignorant to charge the whole black community or people with the crimes of a few by stating African Americans are too concerned with street cred than true success, and that's holding the community back. Maybe Barkley should stick to analyzing basketball. Just a thought. One thing Charles Barkley proves is that education is not synonymous with knowledge or wisdom. Street creds are just what they say that they are. Street creds. As everyone knows, everybody tramples upon the street. No one I know perpetuates getting street creds, not even those who used to attend the school of hard knocks. Most black people want to live in peace. Here we have a black man labeling and stereotyping and demonizing black people, reducing the aspirations of black people to the degenerate aspirations of a street gang, hell-bent on murdering, street crime, going to jail, and dying. That is how foolish it is to accuse all black people of aspiring to get street creds or a reputation for being infamous or evil on the street, not for making the streets safe, but unsafe. From Webster, street creds, the acceptance and respect of people who live in poor city neighborhoods. Cambridge Dictionary, a quality that makes you likely to be accepted by ordinary young people who live in towns and cities because you have the same fashion, styles, interests, culture, or opinions. Now, that is a definition of culture, and it hardly touches on the reality and tragedy and trauma of street life. Urban Dictionary, commanding a level of respect in an urban environment due to experience in or knowledge of issues affecting those environments. What the hell does that mean? These definitions tap dance around the real attributes of street cred and attribute it to the poor communities, urban environment. Maybe that is why Barkley is so confused. Fashion will not get you street cred. You have to put the work in, and that work is violent and criminal. Street creds afford people a reputation for doing things they absolutely should not be doing that places the community, the aspiring gangster, hustler, or thief at risk of injury, death, and incarceration. Incarceration appears to be equivalent to a graduation. To some of these geniuses, prison is a badge of honor, and taking a life is like earning a PhD or a Purple Heart. The only thing Charles Barkley was right about is that there is such a thing as street creds. To aspire to earn street creds is to conspire to place your community at risk. It is indicative of community chaos. Still, we have a small segment of the black population living and dying for street cred or violent self-hating, right? They are violent or self-hating. Some are wannabes, some are soon to be, some are being, and all are on the road to destruction. Some have the support of their ignorant parents or elder relatives and adults. As Ida B. Wells stated, lynching really was an excuse to get rid of Negroes who were acquiring wealth and property, and thus keep the race down and keep the N-I-G-G-E-R terrorized. Now, these out-of-control young black males and some females have taken it upon themselves to ignorantly become the tool of this historic oppressor, keeping the race down and keeping the black community terrorized. Blacks are targeted. More law enforcement is likely to find more crime, right? If you look more, you're going to find more, right? If whites are targeted less, enforcement, law enforcement are likely to find less crime. If I only stop a white guy once out of a year, I'm not going to find that much crime with white boys, right? But if I'm stopping a black guy every opportunity I get, 10 a day, I'm going to find more crime. If people in criminal justice system have disdain and preconception about the criminal state of black people are more likely to receive more severe consequences when they come in contact with law enforcement. To think, less than 60 years ago, blacks were getting the hell beaten out of them. They were getting eaten by dogs, holes, and jail for the right to receive equal education. And some of the geniuses of the youth of today reject the very opportunity many sacrificed their lives for. Many black and white folks died for them to receive. Truancy is out of control. Class cutting is out of control. Yet, we had an incident, unfortunate incident in Philadelphia where a sheriff's officer was indicated as providing guns that were used to murder a 14-year-old youth at a school in Philadelphia, right? So, me, I got this thing about not criminalizing people and giving people breaks and things like that. Look, prison is a place for individuals who break the law. If a student or youth break the law, they risk being placed in a juvenile or adult correction facility. This is the way it is. I've seen some excellent juvenile correction programs on TV where discipline and structure is strictly enforced. I mean, you got to walk in line a certain way. You have to talk a certain way. You know what I'm saying? They're teaching these guys discipline, structure, and respect, right? Maybe we are too concerned with criminalizing the criminal youth. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. The lack of motivating, impacting consequences and rehabilitating of services will impact on the decision of some. You know, some people can be turned around. Extreme times call for extreme measures. For every force, there is an equal and opposite force. We are lacking in that infected black community and paying a heavy price. Some black communities need to be cleaned up by any means necessary. The first order is to salvage the life of the black youth by instilling morals, ethics, self-respect, respect for others, help them get an education, credits in school, you know what I'm saying? Job training, understanding of economics, spiritual well-being, and heal from the trauma. Those who reject internal growth and fortitude will suffer the consequences of their actions. Youth, young adult, whoever. You can be poor and decent, respectful. Who says you gotta be poor and a monster? From Gainesville, they say homicide ranks number one as the leading cause of death for African American males ages 1 to 44, and fourth leading cause of African American males for all ages. Right? The Huff Post says homicide is far and away the leading cause of death for young black men, more than car accidents, suicide, and diseases combined, according to an article co-authored by a Florida Atlantic University physician. In Palm Beach County, homicides killed more than five times as many 18 to 24-year-old black men as car accidents, according to statistics compiled by Dr. Charles Hennekins of the FAU School of Medicine and other researchers. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, right, rates on homicide at the number five cause of death for African Americans of all ages. Needless to say, this is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. What are we going to do? That's my question. What are we going to do about this? From the African American pundit, talking about black youth out of control. Has black America lost total control? And I know the black community's been hit with a whole lot of things. They talk about cocaine and heroin and all these drugs. But look, that's because somebody dropped a pound of horse manure in your backyard, don't mean you have to, you know, you have to eat it. You don't got to put up your nose. You don't have to, you know, shoot it in your veins. You don't have to do that. So people need to search their own souls to see why would they even, you know, gravitate toward that. And of course, I just want to add this to it. Of course, we live in a society that advocates intoxication, which is self-poisoning, which is in itself anti-life behavior. So you can expect people to gravitate toward things that intoxicate them, whether it be legal or illegal. So they promote that kind of stuff. So maybe we all are or have been programmed, and some of us respond to the programming and other people don't. Some respond to it and decide not to respond to the program of self-poisoning for social affairs, fun, you know, whatever. So it should never be perceived as fun to poison yourself. How do we get there? That's another show, but kind of went off track. But anyway, black youth are out of control. They say, why are we as black adults allowing our children to control adults? Run amok in our own homes, neighborhoods, and communities, right? Why are we allowing these types of activity to occur across the community? Why? What's going on? Black America? Is it time to bring reform schools back? And the person went on to say, prison, right? So what should black adults be doing? I guess people, like I said, the consensus is that reform schools criminalize youth. And like I said, I've seen some excellent, I don't know if it was Scared Straight. I think it was Scared Straight or something. They went to jail. They put those guys in jail and, you know, they was on them. You had to stand in a straight line, straight up, do what they tell you to do when they tell you to do it. I think that's an excellent way to deal with youth. Instead of having them just walking down the halls, talking, clowning, saying things they shouldn't be saying to staff, you know, having food fights in the lunchroom. They should be afraid to do something like that. They should either have learned to respect that area or they should be afraid of the consequences of doing it. So if you have a facility where the youth just want to act out like that, don't blame that on, he ain't got no daddy, his mom is on drugs. No. You think that kid don't know better than that? Just because he didn't have a dad, that's BS. Think they don't know better? Just because they don't have a dad, they don't know not to kill a person, not to shoot a man 16 times in the face, not to shoot a gun down the street because you could kill anybody. That bullet can go anywhere. It could kill somebody they care about or somebody they know care about. So we stop making excuses. Because this is not rocket science, this whole thing about the danger of the level of danger in the community at this point. It's not rocket science. It has nothing to do with you don't have a daddy in the house. You know, I grew up, I seen people with two dads in the house. They was on the streets. And some of them was leaders. They weren't just out there. They was leaders. So, you know, and their dad wasn't no chump. Anyway, they said there was a report from WRC Channel 4, right? Two 15-year-olds were arrested in connection with a cache of guns found at Albert Einstein High School, conspired to steal guns and sell them at school. Montgomery County Police. Five students and a 20-year-old man have been charged. See that? That's the aid of their elder people in their community, in the black community. Because we know these kids have to be getting the guns from somewhere. A 15-year-old, he is not making that connection. That's he's stealing them out of my house. That's the only way he's getting them. They said they felt the after Montgomery County Police said they found the weapons Wednesday while investigating a report of a shot fired at the school in the 1100 block of Newport Mill Road. Anyway, investigators said the 15-year-old boy and his 15-year-old girlfriend. 15-year-old girlfriend. His 15-year-old girlfriend stole the guns and other items from the girl's home in Silver Springs so that they could sell them for cash. The weapons were locked up. The girl knew where the key was. Allegedly got the key. Bam. Right? Excuse me. Police said the boy brought three guns to a second floor boys' bathroom at the school to show possible buyer. The gun was given to a 14-year-old boy who accidentally pulled the trigger. No one was injured, right? Here was another one. Not feeling me yet. Well, he said, this is the person, he said, not feeling them yet. So they're all talking about these kids being out of control. These are just little scenarios, right? A beating of a black teacher by a black student in Baltimore, right? From the Baltimore Sun, Sarah Newfield, right? Said that Delota Berry asked a girl in one of her art classes at the Reginald F. Lewis School to sit down. Could you sit down, please? The student did not obey. Coming closer to confront the teacher, she said she was going to bang me. That's what the teacher said. And then teacher backed up and said, back up, you're in my space. If you hit me, I'm going to defend myself. The teacher was about 30 years old. She didn't defend herself, and the girl caught the teacher off guard. I don't know what that means, because you already seen a girl coming at you. She ain't got no business doing that, but caught her, and the students cheered her on and screamed, hit her! Right? So, Baltimore High School teacher who was attacked by the student while the rest of the class watched. An incident was captured, as you probably could guess, in a disturbing video. These guys like to videotape stuff like that, right? She just started beating on her teacher relentlessly, left her with a sore shoulder and a broken blood vessel in her eye. How about a teacher getting assaulted after redirecting on students? So, what do we say, think we should do with people like that? That's my question. What should we do? They said, he's a kid, she's a kid. Don't ruin her life. Number one, if you assault somebody under these scenarios, you're ruining your own life. Because we have rules against assaulting people. We have laws. So if you make a decision, right, to assault someone, you are ruining your own life. Put the blame of where it belongs at on the person. Put the responsibility on the person that's committing the act. It doesn't care, no matter if you came from slavery, if your people came from Jim Crow, segregation, racism, none of that matters when you make that decision. Can't use that. They said the disrespect and violence of black youth is out of control, says Roger Cardwell, right? In an article from the West Side Gazette, right? He said black neighborhoods across the country, our youth are fighting each other. It makes no sense. The fighting has reached epidemic proportions when gangs of youth go into someone's house and continue to fight. Principles, morals, and respect no longer exist in these teens thinking, and they are behaving like heathens. She said, who or what is to blame for these actions? When gangs of youth go into someone's house and ransack items in the house, the entire neighborhood is no longer safe. Right. There's no boundaries, right? The notion that middle school students are so angry to continue a fight in a home owned by an adult is inconceivable. To him it is, because it's not inconceivable to me. The incident, six windows were smashed, the front door splintered, and the lady's 15-year-old son was unconscious outside. Two teens were arrested on felony home invasion and battery charges, according to the Orlando police chief, when a shocking video was discovered. The video posted on social media showed dozens of teens rushing the home, kicking the door, and others came through the window. This invasion was organized and planned with the television busted holes in the wall and everything in the refrigerator broken on the floors. So they videotaped this, and only two teens were arrested. To me, that's the problem. So he goes on talking about gang activity in the community and stuff like gang violence is a lifetime, a way of life, and they have learned how to fight by watching their parents, he said. Many black women who live in the same neighborhood will fight each other over drugs or the same man. Now, this is sounding like more like this labeling thing, right? The behavior is sick, but members in the neighborhood will post the incidents on Facebook. Fighting is a solution or a way to resolve a problem in the black community. As the individuals get older, guns become the accepted way to resolve problems. And that is why there are so many guns in the black community. Okay. Let's be truthful. This country was founded and maintained on violence. Fighting is not particularly a black thing or impoverished thing. Violence is a method of reaching or reacting or responding to a perceived or imminent threat. A threat don't always have to be a physical threat to you. It could be, I need to get these people off this land because I want it. Because it's gold on the land. And I want to dig the gold up. They telling me there's some holy stuff. So I'm going to have to lay my thing down on them, right? So the problem is when people use violence instead of words to deal with non-life-threatening conflict, even worse, when they prefer to use violence, still they have to use violence. That's the problem. Low homicide clearance rates say, I can get away with murder. And I'm not blaming the cops. I'm not saying the cops not doing a good job, not looking for nobody. I don't know. It got to be hard to look for somebody you don't have on camera, or nobody's telling you who did it. So, because I know I did a show on that, and they're talking about it's a silent wall there. You know, with people being silent, I saw a picture of a witness getting murdered on video. Lady walking down the street, broad daylight. Guy waited for her to come up to the corner where he was at on the steps of a store, and he shot her in the head. So it said on, it talked about representatives from the youth organization held a community meeting, right? At this meeting, there were over 100 concerned residents, and many options were discussed with recent middle school student fights addressed, right? They said it takes a village to protect these neighborhoods, and neighborhood watch groups can change a community. It takes a village to protect these neighborhoods, and neighborhood watch groups can change a community. When they see criminal activity, home invasion, gang activity, selling drugs, and gangs of students fighting is a criminal activity and must be reported to police. The lost generation of young black men out of control by Roger Cartwell again. Roger Cartwell is seen to have his belly full of this, I guess. And we may not always agree with everything somebody says, but, you know, we're going to listen to what people have to, other people have to say about the situation. So he says, it seems no one cares that black boys and young black men are failing in school. They expect to fail, and they are only concerned with being professional basketball, football players, rap stars, or gangsters. Now, I'm going to say something about that, because I don't know if everybody knows that. You know, they wear these little ski masks. When you see a lot of the shooters, they wear that ski mask thing that comes over their nose, just leave the eyes out. You see in a hoodie. So we see guys come to school like that. I don't know if they are the shooters or that fashion thing, but I don't know if they putting the work in or not. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if they real or they wannabes. But, you know, maybe on the fence, I don't know who they are. But they said 70% of black families are run by single men, women. And young brothers have no idea of how to be a man. So I hear that a lot. As I keep saying, you know, I'm not quite with two parents. Yes, it's better than one. Two functional parents is better than none or one. But two parents who aren't functional, it's because you got both of them there, and you know you have to have a function. You have to be functional as a parent. You have to be able to impact on your child and things like that. Best start that while he's very young. Anyway, it was a black father and son team that killed the Philadelphia rapper PNB Rock and what's that? Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles restaurant in South Los Angeles, right? There are single households whose sons are not street thugs. It was a sheriff that provided guns, or allegedly provided guns, used to murder a 14-year-old student in Rocksville High. That's in Philadelphia. So all these, I think he was on the football team or welcoming football players. And I don't know if he was the target or not. He was the one that got killed. It's like they tried to kill another one, but they walked up on him and gun and go off. So you don't need both parents to know it's wrong to take a life or steal someone's jewelry or car. You don't need both parents to do that. But if just imagine if your parent is supporting you in doing some crap like that. I wonder if they cut their hands off for theft, how many people would it deter, or if they beheaded them for murder, just how many people would aspire to be murderers? Just a thought. Because there are places where they do that. I just wonder, if they knew they was going to die, the minute they pulled that trigger because somebody disrespected them, how many of those guys would still pull that trigger knowing that, you know, they'd be headless just as soon as they catch them? Would that sheriff have provided guns if he knew he would die shortly after that? Some people may say that is cruel, and it might be, but it is not, no cruel. It's not cruel than murdering a 14-year-old coming from a football practice, or a man in front of his woman taking his jewelry. That's cruel too. There is no excuse for this madness on any level, from the verbal disrespect to murder. Not everyone in the black community subscribes to this self-destructive, genocidal ideology. I must say that too many do subscribe to this self-destructive, genocidal ideology. It is not a part of the solution. It is a part of the problem. These guys are not failing to thrive. They are succeeding at failing. If black youth and men want to be recognized for their accomplishments, there is much, much work to be done. Anybody can pull a trigger. That's easy. You can accidentally pull a trigger. We have a lot of work to be done in our community. You want to be known for what you do on the streets. Get on the streets and do something positive. Anyway, they say that blacks celebrate Black History Month. I guess this was written around February. They said the truth about street life and black-on-black violence that is claiming hundreds of thousands of young black men's lives in the community. They said, tell the truth about that, right? You know. Since 1980 to 2013, more than 260,000 black men have been killed in America, says Mitch Landrieu, mayor of New Orleans. America has given up on black boys and young men, and the majority of them see no way out of their circumstances. In 2017, black boys and young men could not read. This impacts on everything they do. Their mothers are too busy working and paying bills to educate them. He said a good friend of his who has a college degree and a good job in Maryland mentored a group of 20 black men every day. Tuesday from the community, every Tuesday from the community. After taking them for 5 weeks about, talking to them for 5 weeks about the importance of education, no one in the group had a report card with a GPA higher than 2.0. The young men thought it was funny, and it appeared that they were satisfied with their results because they are succeeding at failing, right? In many major cities across the country, right, the schools are not working, and there aren't enough decent paying jobs in the community. The unemployment rate is over 50% in most cities, and young black men are killing each other because they can't envision anything better for themselves. What you're going to see is a huge governing failure on the part of our society. This country has the highest incarceration rate in the world, and Louisiana has the highest incarceration rate country. That's failure, says Mayor Landrieu. Within the black community in every major city across the country, you will find the same pattern. One out of three black men will go to prison, and 80% of murder victims are believed to have known their killer, the assailant. Buying a gun is cheaper than buying a pair of sneakers. Man, sneakers do cost too much. And too many young black men have one. In Chicago in 2016, the city led the country with over 500 deaths. And this is directly related to drug and gang street war, gang activity, right? Warfare. So, you know, Chicago, they still got gangs. Black boys as young as 8 to 10 years old are running and selling guns and drugs. Black boys as young as 8 to 10 years old are running and selling guns. That's a corruption by the elders, adults, young adults, or older adults. I don't know who's actually doing it in the community. That you would give an 8, a 10-year-old boy, because he's going to do less. I don't even know if he can go to jail, 8 years old. So I guess you give him the guns, let him sell them. Just back him up on the end of the block. Anyway, black boys and young men are dying for lack of respect from others on the street, and they are out of control. But he asks, where are the solutions? It's easy to blame institutional racism, poor neighborhoods, police brutality, hip-hop culture, which I used to argue that with my friend about the music influencing people to murder, and I guess it doesn't do that to me. But I can't make a statement, a blanket statement about everybody based on how I respond to music. So apparently there are some people who are very influenced by that. Drugs and guns and systemic genocide is the fundamental reason why so many black boys and men are dying in America. The criminal justice system is the civil rights issue in 2017 in the black community. Right now, blacks make up 12% of the population, but almost 60% of those doing time are drug-related. And according to the Sentencing Project, these black prisoners are serving almost as much time for their drug offenses as whites are for actual violent crimes, right? Reporter Wilbert Cooper said, right, 1.5 million prime-aged black men are missing in America. They're either behind bars or pushing up daisies. Something's wrong with this picture. Men are dying in the streets and or jails or prisons, and there appears to be no hope. The day you were born, there was a pine box and a prison cell built with your name on it, says reporter Wilbert Cooper. That's scary. Today's black youth and their sense of entitlement out of control, as God said. The overwhelming sense of entitlement that he observes in the black youth, over and above what was once considered to be the norm for a time during the rebellious phase of adolescence. So he's saying, we expect some rebellion, but what we're seeing now is way past that. But what's observed today is something much more intense, deadly. And you have to wonder, who's to blame for it? Is it the parents for tolerating and encouraging such an attitude? Is it an ever-increasing permissive society that makes a bad attitude fair-seeming? Or maybe the very influential connection to the internet and all of the decadence that it brings to attack the innocence of those who should still be acting as children, as opposed to acting like a grown, behind person who moves about the earth as though they are paying the bills and keeping a roof over everyone else's head in the family. I'm just going to say, grown folks, it is not acceptable for grown men, so-called grown men, to murder people, carjack, rob people. That's unacceptable behavior, right? So who is that from? Lance Scurry. He got his own little website. Are black students unruly, or is America just racist? Excuse me. A few years ago in Georgia, in a Georgia elementary school, made national news after a student, y'all might remember this one, a kindergartner, was arrested for throwing a temper tantrum. The officers all came in there. The kid was crying on the floor, screaming. He said he noticed damage to the school property and tried numerous times to calm the girl, who eventually pulled away and began actively resisting and fighting with me. Kindergarten. But we know what this cop is, right? The child was in place in handcuffs for her safety, and the officer proceeded to bring her down to the police station. Well, she's placed in handcuffs for her safety. How is a six-year-old charged as a juvenile with simple battery and criminal damage to property? That doesn't make sense. That's a contradiction. I place you in handcuffs for your safety. You're not under arrest. I'm not charging you with none. This is for your safety. Calm down. He didn't do that. He was arresting her, right? Though this was dropped on account of her age. For as much as this was outrageous, it also is not a unique situation. It happens, right? According to data related to the Department of Education, black students are expelled at 3 times the rate of white students, right? Black children make up 18% of the preschool enrollment, close to half of all preschool children who are suspended more than once are African American, right? Just as another reminder, blacks face huge disparity in school discipline. In 2012, for instance, the Department of Education found that blacks accounted for 35% of students suspended at least once and 39% of all expulsions. This despite the fact that African Americans are just 18% of the total student population. So that's that short end of the stick that we get in this country, right? But knowing that, and maybe people don't know that, because you see, like, people are either they don't care, they don't, like Ice Cube said, I think he said, either they don't know or they don't care. Because sometimes we don't know or some of us don't know or we don't care. You know, you're up against these odds, you still going the wrong direction. Anyway, of course, these are particular places where the rates of suspension and expulsion are insane. Of the students suspended under zero tolerance policies in New Orleans in 2009, for instance, all of them were black. But whereas James, the white student, is referred to in school counseling and received a diagnosis, he has a learned disability. James is, his black counterpart, was pulled into remedial class after his first two report cards of the year, where he stays. By the time they reach eighth grade, James is performing on grade level, and Jameis is far behind with worsening behavior. All right, so you know, I don't know if y'all know, these kids start dropping grade level. Their age go up, the grade level stay the same. They don't want to come to school. And now they're looking at the ninth grade. They're looking at their little brother. They're in class with their little brother. You know, they don't want to come. You know, but I don't know what happened to this kid right here, but it seemed like he wasn't getting educated, period. He was just getting labeled. I said, anyway, a scuffle with the teacher resulted in an arrest and expulsion, and Jameis is sent, that's the black one, is sent to juvenile detention for assault charges. He's released after 3 years. A scuffle, he got 3 years? But he doesn't return to school. A few months later, he ends up in court for drug possession. He had a few joints and $20 worth of weed on his person when he was stopped by police in front of a convenience store. For that, he was given 5 years in an adult prison. That might be a little heavy-handed as far as fictional scenarios go, but it's not outlandish compared to their white counterparts. Black boys are 3 times more likely to be placed in remedial or problem classes as opposed to receiving counseling or diagnosis. School-related arrests are depressingly common, and in 70% of cases, they involve Black or Latino students. The same goes for referral to law enforcement. In one Mississippi school district, for example, 33% out of 1,000 students have been arrested or referred to a juvenile detention center, the vast majority of whom were Black. In one study of 180,000 Florida students, they found that just one suspension in ninth grade can drastically reduce the student's chance of graduating in 4 years. What's more, compared to their white peers, Black teenagers are more likely to be stopped by the police and arrested for drug possession, despite similar rates of drug use. And when you put it all together, African-American youth, boys and girls, have vastly higher rates of juvenile incarceration and are more likely to be sentenced to adult prison. All right? Punishment can be explained by more frequent or serious infractions by minority students, to wit, according to the available evidence. The vast majority of suspensions are for minor infractions, like lateness or violation of the dress code, which is to say that this isn't about Black students' behavior. It's about racism. If you're a regular reader, you'll recall a study he wrote which looked upon the perceptions of African-American boys and young men. What researchers found is that Black children aren't perceived as such. In the survey, respondents overestimated the age of Black boys by more than 4.5 years, so that when participants saw a 14-year-old, they perceived him as an 18 or 19-year-old. The effect of this was to deny the boys the presumption of innocence, since after all, adults are responsible for their actions. We have the status quo that's nearly designed to deliver the worst outcomes to African-American students. Not only are they vastly more likely to live in devastated neighborhoods and attend devastated schools, or disadvantaged neighborhoods and attend disadvantaged schools, but their misbehavior works to confirm our biases, right? It messes with our existing stereotypes about the aggression and criminality of Black youth. Stop giving them ammunition, Black youth. On any story about racial disparities in crime or school discipline, you have predictable comments about how it's deserved, how Blacks have earned their status at the bottom of the racial hierarchy. When were they ever high up on it in the racial hierarchy? Anyway. But that's how racism works. It binds us to its presence even as it works to obscure our reality and provide logical explanations for illogical facts. It's how someone can look at the facts of wide disadvantage and disparity and conclude with a straight face that the problem is a lack of personal responsibility. So, listen to that, personal responsibility. You can never negate personal responsibility, and you can negate racism. Black people cannot use racism as an excuse for their disrespectful and threatening behavior. Wide disadvantage and disparity facilitate conditions that lead to crime, anger, and murder, but it is no excuse for the behavior. They are no excuse for the truancy, cutting class, not getting or mastering the education in front of them, disrespecting the school, students, and teachers. They are stumbling blocks that we can and have gotten around. Disadvantage and disparity are obstacles Black people should not allow to prevent them from being all they can be. Black people simply need to unite towards the enhancement of the quality of life of Black people. Yes, Black people are getting the short end of the stick, but that is not a novel phenomenon. Blacks have done collectively more in the not-so-distant past, as Black Wall Street proved, with laws on the books restricted the progress of Black people. They thrived and developed into an economically independent community, wealthier than their white neighboring community, who later attacked and destroyed Black Wall Street, murdering many. Yes, personal responsibility and collective responsibility nurtures and perpetuates ethics and morals as guidelines for living together. Collective economics and personal responsibility propel Black Wall Street into a successful community in 1921. I think that's the right date. All of that in spite of the overt wide disadvantage and disparity. We are better than this. Come on. From CNN, Black spending power reached $1.6 trillion in 2021, although the group's net worth declined 14%. From Renalon.com, recent studies show that Black consumers account for more than $1 trillion in spending each year. From Nasdaq.com, the Netherlands' national gross product, the economy is projected at $1.01 trillion in size in 2022 per capita income of $57,835.73, right? Indonesia, 2022 gross domestic product of $1.29 trillion is expected to grow to $1.86 trillion in the next 5 years. StatisticTimes.com. How many countries have an economy above $1 trillion? 16 countries in 2020 have an economy above $1 trillion. 61 have economies above $100 billion. And 144 have economies above $10 billion. That's power we do not harness, which is more than the GDP of 221 countries. It is also the consequence of disunity. We got to do something better than this. Shout out to the APSP, the African People's Socialist Party, and the work done in impoverished all Black communities today. The support the NFAC has provided, the Black Panther Party back in the day, and SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, Marcus Garvey with the idea that we need our own land, our own place to govern our own selves. The Nation of Islam, who advocates black unity and collective economics, is still practicing it today, and in other organizations. Thank you. You know, because they are models of what we need to do. Nobody's perfect, but you can see what you need to do here. Stop looking for those who want to oppress you to take their political foot off your neck. Take it off yourself. It's not impossible. Yes, some black students are out of control. Yes, America is being racist in their approach to addressing black and white youth with similar violations. It would behoove black youth not to create their own jeopardy, thus participating in their wide disadvantage and disparity, right? This is an old issue of racial inequity in law enforcement and legislation. The issue isn't if the black youth do not deserve to receive consequences as dictated by law, but that the white youth should be subjected to the same consequences as dictated by law or school policy for similar offenses. And I guess that's really the same thing. It is very simple. Learn the rules and obey them. Get out of your own way. The fact that black youth will receive unfair, harsher sentences and or treatment should be a deterrent to breaking the rule. It does not appear to be. They want to break the rules and receive the same treatment as the white youth, or someone wants them to receive that. The best defense to avoid unfair treatment of being a transgressor, violator, lawbreaker is to obey the law, the rules, or policy. Then you have a legitimate complaint. I didn't do nothing, for real. Right? Parents have a responsibility to teach, raise, and indoctrinate their children with ideas of right and wrong, respect, expectations, educational goals, collective responsibility, conflict resolution, and self-defense. Youth have a responsibility to adhere to their instructions. Why self-defense? Because unfortunately, we or some of us live in violent communities, attend schools in violent communities that are infected with violence. A woman may not be able to model maleness, but she can model ethics and morals. You can teach a kid right and wrong. That's no excuse. Father not in the house, you can't teach your kid to what is right and what is wrong. No excuse. As I said previously on other shows, there's no excuse for this madness. School staff cannot ensure the safety of the student, as the Philadelphia School District has implied, from the time the student leaves the school to the time the student gets home. It is untrue and unrealistic. In fact, school staff are not safe. Teachers have been assaulted trying to simply do their job. What happens when a teacher decides to shoot an aggressive, threatening student in the head? I'm exaggerating? Maybe I'm not. Evil thrives when good people do nothing. And I'm going to keep saying that. But that's part of the problem. Violence in school should not be tolerated. The threat of violence should not be tolerated. Conduct unbecoming a student, harassment, cutting in the hall, smoking marijuana in school, smelling like marijuana in school, intoxication on school grounds, weapons on school grounds should be dealt with systemic severely. Not trying to criminalize it. You have to set a standard that says you can't do that here. As for black children or students who choose to act out, break rules, refuse to get an education, and disrupt the educational environment, they should be punished accordingly when appropriate. No student should fear coming to school due to the violent culture of that school. No teacher should fear working in a school due to the disrespectful and violent culture of that school. The right of a student to pursue an education or a school staff member to pursue gainful employment must not be impeded by the violence and intimidation of others. We need a swift reaction to disrespectful, at-risk, and violent behavior. If nothing happens, nothing will change. I like this story about a principal named Joe Brown, who put his job on the line to clean up the filth and corruption that had infected and impacted on Eastside High. I don't know if it's a true story or not. I heard it was. Maybe it is. Maybe not. Maybe it's not all true. Who knows? But if half of that is true, he a hell of a dude. Sometimes you simply have to put the trash out. As far as black youth willfully breaking the law, they too should be punished as severely as their transgression dictates and has impacted on the lives of their victims. If they are too young to do the time, they should not commit the crime. If they don't want to be criminalized, don't aspire to commit criminal acts. However, school is not the place to sell drugs or use drugs. Have some respect for the institution, other students, if not for yourself. You should not sell or use drugs. But if you do, do it without being a total menace to the community. You can set some boundaries on where you sell drugs, when to use violence, and not creating your own jeopardy, thus placing the community at greater risk while you place the community at greater risk. Work that stuff out without murdering people. Maybe that's unrealistic too. It's hard to believe that individuals who are so disrespectful are murdering people because they disrespect them. Sounds more tyrannical behavior. We cannot afford tyrants. Some people want to be monsters. Some want to be feared. No one likes a monster, and fear will get you murdered too. You have guns because you aren't safe. You aren't safe because you have guns. What sense does that make? Get off the hamster wheel of death and destruction. What goes around comes around. Live by the gun, die by the gun. There is no happy ending, just trauma and more trauma. We need structure, rules, ethics, and morals at home, community, and in the schools. We need structure, rules, ethics, and morals at home, in the community, and in the schools. We need structure, rules, ethics, and morals at home, in the community, and in the schools. It's time to clean up our act. Enough of this. All it takes for evil to thrive is for good men to do nothing. And on that note, if there's no callers, nobody want to say anything, I'm going to close the show because this is a very depressing topic. And that's enough of there is a light at the end of the tunnel. We just not gravitating toward it, some of us. Enough of us. You know, this thing can change. We can turn around if you want to. Until next week, y'all, I want to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, all my listeners, callers, and people who download the show after the show's been on, or whenever you feel like it. Thank you very much. Until next week, y'all. Peace out. Each one reach one. Each one teach one. Peace.
not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.